Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, wherever you are, we are worshiping together. Title of my sermon this morning is The Good News of Jesus' First 100 Days. And I added a subtitle to that, Our Sacred Call. We recently had an inauguration, and originally I was going to preach this sermon last Sunday, just days after our inauguration. We have a new president, and our new president is busy putting his first 100 days plan into action. You see, this whole thing about first 100 days started back in the 1930s with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was giving a radio address, and somehow he started speaking about the first 100 days, what he would do, and that idea caught on. Caught on with the people, caught on with the media. And ever since Roosevelt, every president has come into office proclaiming their first 100 days, what they would accomplish. And so this morning, I want to take this secular concept of first 100 days, and I want to use it to look at the first 100 days of Jesus' ministry. And to show you the way the Holy Spirit works, this lectionary reading came up right after our inauguration. God is watching over us, and God is teaching us, both through the secular and the sacred. So, did Jesus have a first 100 days plan? And why, if he did, does it involve four raggedy men who reek of the smell of fish? Dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Please move me past the distractions of this eye patch. Please move me into your grace and love so I may fully understand your call to me. And let your call, sacred call to me, reach out to all of the people here who are listening to these words. Wherever they are all your children, and please convey through me the wisdom of your words to them. Amen. Jesus' first 100 days. Reverend Melissa Bain Sevier has a perspective on Jesus' first 100 days, and she has such a beautiful overview of it, I would like to just read her words to you. We pay attention to the outcast, the sick, the poor among us. We challenge the status quo. We seek justice and equality. We live kindly among our friends and family and strangers. We allow our faith and assumptions to be upended by new ideas and new experiences. We tread lightly on the earth. But we do it best when we allow ourselves to journey with Jesus, even if we don't go too far from home. You see, the first 100 days of Jesus' ministry was filled with statements of opportunities for all. Jesus offered the good news of salvation and opportunities to live a different kind of life to all of the people, and especially those who had very few prospects of improving their lives. The 12 disciples that Jesus called were by far not the best and the brightest, especially by the standards of their time. They were fishermen, and you know that fishermen were not held in high esteem. They were shepherds, and you know shepherds were not held in high esteem. All of the people that Jesus called unto him were people that Jesus was reaching out to. And it started as early as his birth, when he had the shepherds from the field, shepherds who were not even allowed into the synagogue most of the year, to be the ones present for the birth of the king. So, and Jesus calls his first followers into a personal relationship with him. And this is so important, because this sacred call that Jesus gave to his disciples of a personal relationship is that same sacred call that he gives to us for a personal relationship with him. And I'd like you to, if you could read the Greek translation of this text, the verb in Greek, aphemi, meaning they left their nets. That is a very interesting verb, because Mark used that verb, aphemi, other places in his gospel. And other places in his gospel, it means to release from debt. It means forgiveness of sins. And it means liberation from bondage. So what Mark is telling us is that when these fishermen left their nets, God was releasing them through this sacred call from debt, forgiving their sins and liberating them from the bondage of their grinding economic circumstances. So in our gospel today, we have two narratives. We have the narrative that I am superimposing over it of the first 100 days. Now, I want to go through this briefly because this is a completely secular configuration. Works in the political world. I only am pointing it up in the sacred world because it does have a little bit of resonance. But this is not the heart of what we're talking about. The sacred call that God gave to each of those disciples and to us is really the heart of what I'm talking about. However, in Jesus' first 100 days, crowds started following Jesus. If we go to Mark 1, verse 34, and Jesus healed many with diseases, and he even cast out many demons, even one in a temple. In his Sermon on the Mount, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, Jesus again did something different. In his preaching, he focused on love, not laws. If we go to Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus is using his first 100 days of ministry in his words to set up his program, to show the people that the call of God is for them, to lift them and love them. And notice the change in the words in the Beatitudes. In the Old Testament, you had the commandments, you shall not, you shall not. And here, Jesus is using affirmations, not negative commands. In Matthew 5:21, we see this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And in Matthew 5:27, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not commit adultery. So Jesus is changing this whole narrative of relationship with God and religion. It's no longer the age of laws and prophets. It's now the age of love and forgiveness and redemption and sacred calls. And Jesus also made a statement about prayer. Jesus made prayer personal and private, and also daily. No longer were people dressing up in fine cloaks such as this and making a show of their prayers in public. Jesus told us this beautiful prayer in Matthew 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so all of these changes that Jesus was making in his first 100 days made the religious leaders angry. They were angry because he disregarded the traditions. He disregarded their teachings. They wanted to challenge him and challenge him. And when they got tired of challenging him, they wanted to simply kill him. And we see some of this in Mark chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but rather the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." And the other thing that Jesus established very early on is that he taught with authority. And the word for authority really means authenticity. And how could he teach with anything but authenticity? Because he was teaching the word of God, which were his words. In Mark chapter 1, verse 21, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. And so these were the actions that Jesus did in his first 100 days. Jesus was upending the status quo. He was redefining the relationship between the children of God and God. And he was redefining it with a sacred call. You see, if we go back to the way that Jesus called Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, there's no backstory. There's no details. Jesus had lived around that area his entire life. Jesus was a carpenter. It would not be surprising if he knew these fishermen, if he knew the tax collectors. It would not be surprising. And yet, not one of the gospel writers decided it was important to put any of those details into this call narrative. The human details were not important. The sacred call was the most important. And by simply saying with very few words, "Come, follow me," and they left their nets. "Come, follow me," and they left their nets. The gospel writers want us to focus on not the human changes, not they were going with their friend Jesus, the carpenter that they hung out with, but that they were opening their souls to God. That they were giving themselves completely over to God's will, God's love, and God's grace. The Jesuit priest Pedro Arrupe wrote a poem about this, and he compares Jesus' sacred call to his disciples, to us, to falling in love. Here's what Father Arrupe says. "Falling in love with God seizes your imagination and affects everything. falling in love with God decides who you know, what you read, what breaks your heart, what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Falling in love with God decides everything. And this is the sacred call. This is the important part of this gospel this morning. We are given opportunity after opportunity to fall in love with God. And if we fall in love with God, and because we're human, we may fall out, but then we fall back in, God is there offering and offering and offering himself to us. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, Jesus is offering a sacred call to each of us. And it starts with the first 100 days of his ministry, sure. But it continues throughout his ministry, and his sacred call to us continues throughout our lives. It continues throughout a pandemic. It continues throughout the disagreements that people have in churches. It continues throughout people moving into the area and moving away from the area. It continues out as we get older. You are so special because you have been responding to the Word of God. You, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, have been answering God's sacred call, praying for others by yourself or in a prayer group or a chain of text or emails, calling others on the phone, reaching out, being good listeners, delivering cookies or greeting cards. Not just delivering cookies, but wrapping them up in a beautiful bow. You, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, have been responding to the sacred call of God by bringing a ray of love into a time of grief, by helping with little things, you know, like packing and unpacking cans of food, boxes of food, restocking shelves, by volunteering joyfully, setting up a prayer healing meetings, and reaching out and organizing families. You have been answering God's call by reaching out to people older than you and younger than you, by filling in for a minister whose right eye decided to schism from the back of his eyeball, by frequently shopping at the dollar store, not because you love the dollar store, but because they have awesome prices on mittens and hats and scarves, and by generously giving your time and talents and treasure and your prayers. See, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, when those four fishermen left their boats, Jesus was releasing them from bondage to the things that were holding them down, and they were walking into a future they had no clue about. And so where will we, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, go this year? We have answered our call, and Jesus has released us from debt, forgiven us our sins, taken away our bondage. How will we this year grow in grace and spirit? I have no idea. But I do know that there is joy in abundance on this road. There will be hard times on this road, but we will be lifted up by the people around us on this journey. I want to close with the words of Rabbi David Cooper. He talks eloquently about the sacred call of God. These are his words. The sacred call is transformative. It is an invitation to our souls. A mysterious voice reverberating within that can neither be ignored or denied. The sacred call touches us at the center of our souls. And when such a call occurs, and we hear it, really hear it, our closer connection to God is assured. So we give thanks and praise. We give thanks and praise to Jesus for the markers, the signposts that he put down in his first 100 days of ministry. The markers and signposts that carried him through his whole ministry. And we give thanks to Jesus for his sacred call to us. And every sacred call is different because we are all different. But it is within these sacred calls that we live in the love and grace and peace and forgiveness of God. And so no matter where you are, join us in this sacred call. Join us in this beloved worshiping community. Know that you are loved, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.